tickets to Silver Dollar City. So that's a pretty cool little package. And plus, we'll have a gift for every lady that attends. So make plans to be here for both of those Sundays. And let me encourage you to invite somebody to join you for these services. I promise you, not only will you be blessed, but those that you bring will be blessed. And it's going to be a great time. Today, we're starting a new series. And I've entitled this message, A Family Covenant. But we're talking about, the series is called A Family Vacation. Our Family Vacation, A Journey of Grace and Love. Now, God used Abraham's family in an amazing way. And today I hope that I can somehow show you just how God used Abraham's family. He can use your family as well. I don't know about you, but I love going on vacation. I absolutely love it. I like all the preparedness, the getting ready to go. I like the anticipation of getting ready to go. I like talking to my kids about going on vacation. I like everything about vacation and planning vacations and spending time on vacation. I like spending time with my family. I like going to places that I've never been to before. I even like going back to places that we've been to and loved. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever had one of those vacations that just tested your family dynamic? You know what I'm talking about. You know the kind, right? Where towards the end of the vacation, you had had just a little too much togetherness. I mean, has anybody had that? I mean, can anybody say, yes, I witnessed, can I see your hands? You know what I'm saying? I've had those too. But it is in those moments, and those are special moments, that we can teach our kids about grace and love. You know, when I was a kid, one of my best memories was our family vacation to California. And if you've ever seen the movie National Lampoon's Vacation, well, ours wasn't quite as crazy, but we had our moments, okay? And it was one of those journeys where we started in Russellville, and we saw, I think, just about every 3 or 4 hours, we stopped and stayed somewhere on the way there and stopped and stayed on the way back. And it was the whole, I mean, we saw everything. We're like, hey, we haven't been, and we're going, and so this is going to be something that we're going to remember. I think it was a 2-week vacation, and I had chicken pox going, and my sister had chicken pox on the way back, you know. So you can only imagine the joys that we had on this trip. But it was full of memories, and it was full of craziness. And I remember one time that we stopped and ate lunch on the interstate. Yeah, you weren't supposed to show that yet. I remember one time way there that we stopped on the side of the road. I think it was in the desert, and we had lunch, you know. I don't know if you've ever had lunch in the desert. There's nothing out there, and there's nothing for miles. There's like a stretch of highway going to California where it says, I think there's a sign that says, this is the last stop for miles, and it's like several hundreds of miles, and if you miss that stop, you're probably going to be stuck on the side of the road somewhere because there's just nothing. But we did everything. You name it. If you can think of something that has to do with California, from Los Angeles to San Francisco, we did it. Yes, you can go ahead and show that beautiful picture of us. Can y'all tell that it was a little windy that day? And, you know, we took that, I think it was that boat that we took, and we went around Alcatraz, went under the Golden Gate, and it was so, the water was so choppy that boat ride, it was just boom. You ever been on one of those boat rides, you know, where it's just constant waves, you know? My wife would have been vomiting before she ever got anywhere near because she can't handle boat rides at all. And it was so choppy, but we had fun. We had a blast, and we enjoyed it. And, you know, and that's something about vacations, that they can either draw your family closer together or they can pull you farther apart, right? And it's usually in those difficult circumstances that you face that it usually is times that you learn about love and you learn about grace with one another. And it's during those times that we as parents, we can teach our kids about love and grace. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Genesis, and I want to read three verses from chapter 18. The context of what I'm about to read to you is God is, so there's God and two other people, they're presumably angels, and they've just told Abraham and Sarah that Sarah was going to have a son by that time next year. And Sarah laughs. And let me just say this, and I'm not here to talk about your age, ladies, but if you were as old as Sarah, you would probably say, hey, no way I'm having no baby. She was 90 years old. Think about that. 90 years old, and God tells her that she's going to, or she overheard God telling Abraham that she would have a baby. And she laughs. I think she did something that any of you would do, right? If God tells you that you're going to have a baby at 90 years old, I think that's just an instinct. And but God told them that they would, and guess what they did? Just as God had promised. But here's what God said beginning at verse 17 in Genesis chapter 18. So Genesis chapter 18, and I want to read three verses for you beginning at 17. It says, then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. So, this is what is known as a covenant. God made a covenant with Abraham. Now, in case you're wondering what a covenant is, it's an agreement. And to take it one step further, when God made a covenant with anyone, it was him promising to protect whomever if they kept his law and were faithful to him. Now, there are several well-known covenants in the Bible. You may remember some of these. God made a covenant with Noah that he would never flood the entire earth again. God made a covenant with Abraham that he would become a father of many nations. God made a covenant with Moses that he would deliver the Israelites from slavery in Egypt and give them land flowing with milk and honey, which we know as the promised land. And then, of course, the new covenant that we are living in now is God sent his son Jesus to come and be a sacrifice for us. Jesus died on the cross to take away the sins of the world, and all we have to do is believe in him and we will have eternal life. Now, let me say this. There are other covenants in the Bible, throughout the Bible. These are just several of the very well known that we know and that are very important to us so that we understand the God's love and that God's grace towards his people. It's important that we understand what God has shown us as individuals, just like we should show that towards our children. Ted Tripp wrote a book, and that book is called Shepherding a Child's Heart. It's a parenting book, and in this book he wrote this, and I quote, Genesis 18 calls fathers to direct their children to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Being a parent means working in God's behalf to provide direction for your children. Directors are in charge. It involves knowing and help them to understand God's standard for children's behavior. It means teaching them that they are sinners by nature. It includes pointing them to the mercy and grace of God shown in Christ's life and death for sinners. Fathers, we have a huge role that we have to play. Our kids will see how God will, I'm sorry, let me rephrase this. Our kids will see God in how we act and respond to them. Even in secular circles, they have found the psychology of people attributing to their perception of God the same characteristics they found in their earthly father figures. So what they see in their earthly father figures, they say, well, that must be how God is. Matthew Brown wrote in the Washington Times this. He said, sociologists say it's common for people to perceive that God is like the fatherly figures in their lives. If dad is caring, patient, and concerned, then children will believe God has those same characteristics. And the opposite holds true when a father is harsh, judgmental, or absent. Fathers, your kids are watching you. And the role you play at home is the role they remember. You know, I mentioned the new covenant that God made with us. So if you can, go with me over to the book of Acts. And I want to read from chapter 3, beginning at verse 24. So Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 24. And it says, indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. You see, God has made a covenant with us today. In the old covenant, salvation came through a faith expressed by obedience to God's law and its sacrificial system. But the new covenant would be personal. Knowing God is both a community experience and a personal knowing by each of us who have accepted Christ and chosen to follow him. Christ, think about this, he's offered his own blood to make possible our direct access into the most holy place of God's presence. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. I like that word there. With confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You see, that's the covenant that God made with us. That is the love and grace to know that no matter when we've done wrong or when we've done something that we know we shouldn't have done, that we can boldly go to the throne of grace and we can find grace and mercy and love, and that God cares for us. He wants the best for us. That no matter what we've done in our past, he says, I forgive you. I love you. I want the best for you. I'm going to do everything that I can to help provide for you. And God loves us and he cares for us so much that he wants us to have that mercy and grace. We as parents should have that same relationship with our children, to know, for them to know that if they have done wrong, if they have done something that does not make us proud of them, you know what I'm saying? How they mess up, how they do things that they shouldn't do, then we should have that relationship so that they can come to us and know that we will give them mercy and grace just as our Heavenly Father has given us mercy and grace. In fact, those of us who enter a personal relationship with God, we become his children. I love Romans chapter 8. It's a great passage. And this is what Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16 says. It says, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Amen? And that's something that we can rejoice about, that we are God's children. That's something that we can get excited about, that we are God's children. And not only are we in God's children, but we have an inheritance that is waiting for us that's far greater than anything that we could ever expect to have here on earth. Amen? And just as God shows us love and grace, we can extend that same love and grace to our family, to our children. And just as God used Abraham's family as a display of his covenantal love, he can use our families to help others come to know him. Amen? Now, are we perfect? Far from it, right? Does anybody here have a perfect family structure? Man, my kids do no wrong. They're just the sweetest little kids. They do everything that I ask them to do. I mean, does anybody have that? You know? No, it doesn't exist. Go to bed. But, there is no buts. Just go to bed now, you know. Well, but why? Because I said so. There shouldn't have to be a why, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Anybody else want to pull your hair out at nighttime? You know, I told you to get off the phone. Well, why do I get off the phone? Because I told you to get off the phone. That's why you have to do this. There shouldn't have to be an explanation. There shouldn't have to be a reason why I told you to do it. I just want you to do it, right? Am I wrong here? Does anybody have the perfect where your kids are saying, yes, parents, yes, we love you so much. We're going to do whatever you want us to do. Does anybody have that? If you do, can I please take some parenting advice from you? Because I sure don't have it, you know. So yesterday we're getting the garden. And it seemed like I told my kids, I said, we need your help. We want to get this done and we need you to help us. And, you know, and so we want to get this done. So we don't want it to take all day. And so I didn't make them do a whole lot. So they came out and I said, okay, I just need you to do this and this. And if you'll do this and this, then you can go have some time and whatever. It seemed like they spent more time going inside to find other things to do than they did outside. We finally got all the jobs done. It just seemed to take us all day long to get all the jobs done, you know. It was a long process, but it's okay. You know, we got the job done, and we only had to, you know, raise our voice a few times, but we got the job done. It's important. We're never going to be perfect, right? And you could probably even think of, maybe you have grown kids, and you could probably think of some of the mistakes that you've made. Maybe you have young kids, and you're thinking, man, I just made a mistake yesterday. And it's okay. At that moment, that's when we set our children down and we explain to them, I'm human. I make mistakes. How many's ever had to eat crow with your kids? You know what I'm talking about? Say, look, I'm so sorry. I yelled at you, or I did something, or I assumed something, and I want you to know that I need your forgiveness. I've been there. I understand that. And it's important that as our Heavenly Father showed us grace and love, it's important that we learn to show our children grace and love and hope they will do the same. You know, we raise our children in hopes that they will someday grow up and want what we have, right? It doesn't matter if you grew up in a home that didn't believe. You're making a decision now. You want your children to carry on the Christian lifestyle that you have taught them, that you have in your life now. And it's important that we learn to start traditions, new traditions with our children. And maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. And I want you to know you can begin a new relationship with Him today. No matter what you've done, God is extending His grace to you. He loves you. He wants the best for you. You just have to turn from your old life and start a new page in Christ. You know, this week as I was preparing this message, I think it was Thursday, I was just, you know how you ever get to a point where you're wanting to do something and you just can't figure out where to start? If you've ever done a lesson, or if you've ever done a Bible study or something where you've got to teach to other people, I know, like, sometimes, man, I'll sit down to write a message and it won't be nothing. I can just sit down and just, And it's done. I mean, it's just, it's flowing, it's moving, you know, and I can tell I'm well prepared and all. And then there's some times that I can study the subject and I can be ready to go, I feel, and nothing comes. You know what I'm talking about? And that's the way it was this week as I was preparing to write this message. Just couldn't get my thoughts together. And so I started praying and I was just like, God, what is it you want me to say? What is it you want me to do? And so I just started just doing what I felt God wanted me to do. And one of the things that I felt was to go outside and just kind of, you know how you just kind of want to go outside and just kind of clear your mind and clear your heart. And so I started doing a little task. We had this pile of stuff over here, and I thought, well, just take some of this to the trash can. Now, I understand I could have rolled the trash can to me, but that wasn't the part of this exercise. I felt like God wanted me to pick these things up and carry them to the trash can and walk back to the trash can. And I made several trips just doing a few little things at a time. And it was in that process that I learned that there's an easy way of doing it and a hard way of doing it, right? And the easy way was just get what you can carry. Don't try to overdo it and try to, you know. And then also, I figured out to pace yourself. Not in any hurry. And just take it one step at a time. And what I felt like God was telling me was that some of us as parents, we've been on this journey. And there are times that journey is hard. Can I tell you that it was windy that day. And there was some times that I would walk to the dumpster that wind would just be blowing and it seemed like that journey was harder. And I had boards in my hands and it was like I would have that resistance. And it seemed like it was just a more difficult journey. And there was other times that I would walk and there was no resistance at all. It was just an easy path. It was an easy walk. And I felt like God was telling me that in this time, in this moment, that's the way parenting is sometimes, right? There are times and there are seasons when it seems like you take two steps forward and you take 20 back. You know what I'm saying? It's like I feel like I have loved you. I have cared for you. And I have done everything that I can to try to help you to become the human being that God wants you to become. And can I tell you, as parents, there are times that journey is going to be hard, and there are going to be times that journey is going to be easy. But I believe that no matter what times we may be in, we can still extend grace and love. You know, God loves us. And he cares for us so much. And can I tell you that the journey that God has taken with you, it's been easy and it's been hard. There are some times that we as individuals, that man, we are on cloud nine and we are loving God and we think God is the greatest thing. And then there's other times that we're just blaming him for everything. Do you know what I'm saying? Well, God, if you'd only done this. God, if you'd only done that. And can I tell you that sometimes, even on our journey, it's hard. But God still loves us. And he still extends grace to us. Amen? So no matter what journey you're on with your kids, or what journey you're on with your relationship to God, there is still that grace and that love. And that you and I can walk in that victory and know that God loves us and he cares for us and he's extending grace to us. Amen? Let's pray. God, we just thank you for this day. We just thank you for this time that we can be here together. God, I pray for every individual here. Maybe some of them are struggling. Maybe there's some parents that are struggling here today. There's some individuals that are struggling. And God, one more time I ask, can you just extend your grace? Extend your love to them. God, you made promises to us just like you did Abraham. And just like you did to us when you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross for us. You gave up. You made a covenant, an agreement with us that if we'd serve you, you would take care of us. And God, I know you've stood by your word. And there may be somebody here that doesn't understand that today, God. Maybe they're feeling alone. Maybe they're feeling discouraged. Maybe they're feeling like they just need help right now. God, will you please extend your grace and your love to them? Touch their hearts. Touch their lives. Do a work in their life. We give you praise. Hallelujah. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. If you're here and you say, I need a touch from the Lord. Whatever it is, whatever it may be. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe there's a family crisis, a family situation. Something's going on, whatever it may be. I want you to know that God wants to extend His love and His grace to you today. If that's you, I want to pray with you. If you could just make your way across this front. And we just stand across the front. I want to come, I want to pray with you. And I want to agree and believe that God is going to touch you. He's going to extend His grace to you. He wants to extend His love to you. Is there anybody here this morning? You say, I need a touch from the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Can we pray? God, I just thank you, Lord. God, I pray if there's anybody watching today, they need your love. They need your grace. God, that you would extend it to them. God, that you would extend it to them. Show them your love, God. Show them your grace. Maybe they've cried out a time or two. God, I pray that you would minister to them. That you'd do a work in their heart and in their life. God, I praise you and I give you glory. We praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Spirit of the Lord is.
Good, amen. I love walking in his freedom, being in his freedom, being free in him. We're going to take up our BGMC if the kids will get in here in a minute. While we're waiting on them, I just want to say that if you haven't been coming on Wednesday nights, you need to come on Wednesday nights. And we have been having, we have Bible study, so what we're doing, we are no longer going to have our Wednesday night Bible study online. And here's why. It's changing formats a little bit. It's more of a discussion, and when you're online, you can't hear the discussion that's taking place unless we were to pass a mic around, and that would be a lot of work. And so what we're going to do is so that everybody that's here on Wednesday nights can participate and be a part of the service and speak about what God is doing and what God's doing in their life and just the benefits of God. And I mean, I'm telling you, we have people just talking into each other's life. It's been amazing. You don't want to miss Wednesday nights. Let me just say that. So be here at 7 o'clock if you can, what we do is we have some Bible study time, discussion time, and we have some prayer time, and we don't stop until God's done. Amen? Doesn't matter if we're here till 8 o'clock. A lot of times the kids are out before we are, and so they're just hanging out, waiting, and they're still having fun back there, so it doesn't bother them. But we have something for your kids. And we have something for if you want to bring your grandkids on Wednesday night. It's a great time. And so you don't want to miss it. Wednesday nights have been happening around here. They've been good. And so we'd love to see you in service with us this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And I believe that if you come, I believe God is going to do something in your heart and in your life. So I said that. Now, well, yeah. So, they're doing their lesson. They ain't got time for us. today, though, is our monthly BGMC. Now, what you may not know about BGMC is it stands for Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge. This is a way that we can teach our children about giving to missions. How many knows that missions is important? Missions is the heartbeat of God. Amen? I truly believe that. I believe it was Dan Betcher say one time that he said, I view God's missionaries as, hey guys, I view God's missionaries as like Marines. They go out into the battlefields. They're out there fighting. They're out there doing a work for us. And so what we want to do is do what we can and send them out. Send these missionaries out. And BGMC is one way that we do this. And so the kids are going to come around. Do you have some walking music maybe? And the kids are going to come around and collect your change, your dollars, nickels, dimes, quarters, 20s, 100s, 50s. You know, if you got a $500 bill, we'll take that too.
Shepherd, and I have no need. You lead me by peaceful streams. You refresh my life. You hold my hand and you guide my steps. And I can walk through the valley of death. And I won't be afraid.
So far raised this year for BGMC a little over $1,500. So thank you very much. And we'll continue to collect your change and dollars and all that good stuff every month. And that helps for us to spread the gospel. And so thank you so much for what you have done and provided. Let me also say one last thing. I have a final total for our Roll Ranger yard sale. We sold and collected $1,700 worth of stuff. So thank you so much for that final tally, or at least as far as I know, it's final unless there's something you haven't given. Okay, so we may have more. So there you go, more may come in. So, but anyway, thank you so much. And our ushers are at the back of the service, and you can drop your envelopes in the. You can also pay online or give online, and so. Thank you so much. Let's pray over the offering. God, we just thank you for this time that we can come here today, be in your presence. And I thank you for everybody that gives. I thank you for all your grace and mercy that you've